Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Patient Focused Update, the podcast for Americans for Safe Access. You can find out more at safeaccessnow.org. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us today, we have Jehan Marku, Beth Collins, and Debbie Shergai from Americans for Safe Access. Welcome, everyone, back to the show.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you.
Let's start off with Jehan. You are the chief science officer for the Americans for Safe Access organization, and there's so much going on with the organization. Can you give us basically a rundown of what we've been dealing with here in this month of September?
Well, for us, there's been three significant things, if I was to sum it up to the top three. One would be Congress extended patient protections to December. And also, but there's still a lot more work to be done there to ensure those protections. The Department of Justice was challenged by Congress on their cannabis research delays, and three more PFC-certified companies' cannabis operations were approved in Maryland, and we're weeks away, I think, from the first dispensaries opening up here in Maryland, and we've been working with a lot of operators making sure they're ready for inspections out there. And we also there's a lot of interest in the opioid crisis. We just had a webinar where Ethan Russo, a notable clinical researcher, gave a talk on cannabis and opioids, and that's available on our Safe Access YouTube channel.
I'd encourage everyone to check that out. And Dr. Marku, if I could ask, on this patient protections, you said it got renewed up through December. So when December rolls around, what are the chances looking like on continuing these patient protections? And maybe we can get Beth in on this as well.
So Beth Collins is our Senior Director of Government Relations, and I think she'd have the best answer for this.
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of nerve-wracking right now. We're not 100% sure what's going to happen. Earlier in August, the Senate did pass the amendment. It was introduced by Senator Leahy from Vermont, and that passed. But in the House, we unfortunately didn't have a vote in committee. It went to the Rules Committee, where the Rules Committee voted that there would be no medical cannabis amendments in order. So what that means is that when the committees go to the House and the Senate, we'll have a conference committee where they'll work out what the final appropriations package will look like. So at this point, we're really unsure. We're working behind the scenes. There's really not much for advocates to do at this point because we don't know who's going to be in that conference committee, but we're doing some things with working with offices in Congress right now trying to get to ensure that that amendment is included in the final budget. And, you know, we won't know until there's a vote.
You know, speaking of that amendment, for years there's been the Rohrabacher Amendment is what we've been calling it. It's been primarily sponsored by Representative Dana Rohrabacher out of Orange County, California. Recently, the investigation of Robert Mueller into collusion with Russia has led some people to taking a look at Rohrabacher's ties to Russia. I'm just curious, should this affect Rohrabacher's career in any way? Do we have backups as far as Republicans who would step forward to co-sponsor this sort of patient protection?
Yeah, we definitely do. We have Congressman Gates out of Florida who is becoming much more involved in the medical cannabis side of things, as is Representative Garrett from. We have quite a number actually of Republican champions both on the House and Senate side this year. We have a lot more support for CARES Act as well, which is another bill that we're really pushing for, and your listeners, if they should look up who their representatives are and in Congress and see if they're on as co-sponsors to this important bill, and if they aren't, they should be calling and writing. We have an action page on the ASA website that they could go to send their messages to their congressional delegation to support the act.
For people who Excuse me. Sorry to interrupt, but for people who may not have been following our podcasts, they know Rohrabacher is the one that prevents the Department of Justice from spending money to go against state legal medical marijuana programs. Tell them a little bit about what this CARES Act is all about.
Sure. So the CARES Act is made up of a few different parts. One part is to really solidify the protections of federal, so it protects state medical cannabis programs from federal interference. It also protects veterans who are enrolled in medical cannabis programs from getting rid of their, from losing their benefits. It deschedules cannabidiol, CBD, from the schedule, and it also opens up some of the lines of research so that we can research cannabis more easily.
So if CARES Act were to pass, we wouldn't have to have this annual battle over the Rohrabacher Amendment.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay.
It would be a lot easier.
It certainly would. All right, let's talk about this. Jehan mentioned this research delay that DOJ got called out on. Was this just a Stern talking to? Is there any weight behind what happened here? Can you kind of describe what happened?
Sure. So we have a piece about it in our September newsletter, but basically concerned members of Congress are asking Attorney General Jeff Sessions to explain a reported move by the DOJ to halt cannabis research. And it was after the Washington Post reported that the DOJ was sitting on 22 applications to cultivate cannabis for research purposes. And basically, the DEA has opened up a lot of these applications over a year ago, but it's under no pressure to have a timeline of when to submit comments or get back to these people. And so there was a bipartisan letter by Representative Blumenhauer, Gates, Polis, Rohrabacher, and also was made public by Tom Engel of Massroots. And so these are all co-founders of the Congressional Cannabis Caucus that released this.
Well, that's good to hear that we're getting some attention to this issue on both sides of the aisle. Now let's take a look at ACE's patient-focused certification. We've been detailing this in the past couple of episodes of the podcast, and you even mentioned this has been moving forward in Maryland. Debbie, can you give us an update on PFC, what people need to know about it, and how it's being expanded and developed?
Yeah, I just wanted to let people know of some upcoming events that we have going on with our patient-focused certification training program. We had a training last week in Philadelphia, and we have another one coming up in October in Philadelphia on October 12th and 13th. And then we have one in Maryland on October 16th and 17th. And these are our in-person trainings. These trainings are for people who are applying for medical cannabis licenses or hoping to obtain a job in the medical cannabis industry, or people who just want to learn more about the industry. It's really for all levels of people to learn more about how to own and operate a medical cannabis business legally. And so people can also take the training online anytime on our patientfocusedcertification.org/education/on-demand-training.
And just to add to that, our last training in Philadelphia was accredited by the Pennsylvania State Nurses Association, and so we do, with a lot of our trainings, apply for accreditations for health professionals. So if you're a social worker, a nurse, anything like that, you can also potentially get contact hours for attending the in-person course.
That's the continuing education that these professionals have to do?
Yep.
Okay. And can you update me on, you mentioned that this was going on in Maryland. Didn't we have a story that we'd covered a couple of episodes ago about getting involved in Maryland and then Maryland backed out? Am I misremembering that? Was it Maryland or some other state that you guys got some bad news in?
So, we're moving forward with our educational content, and so it's just not a matter of if the educational content will be offered, it's just a matter of who will host it. And so we haven't had a problem getting it accredited. Some of our trainings, like our endocannabinoid system training, got CME through Harvard University at one event. So we haven't had a problem with accreditation partners. We've been trying to expand the program, and you know, we're currently expanding the program in Europe with a center for excellence out there. So the program is moving forward, expanding. We actually just did a new course on cannabis extraction and lab safety. You know, not how to make cannabis extracts, but how to do it safely and protect the facility and the employees.
The final thing I'd like to bring up in our podcast episode this time is with regard to the opioid crisis. We've recently had the president speaking out numerous times about this, and most recently, the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, doubling or perhaps even tripling down on his just say no rhetoric. Is there anything that you can bring to us to update us with regard to medical cannabis versus the opioid crisis?
Well, tomorrow, commission, the President's Opioid Commission from the White House, the ONDCP, headed by Chris Christie, is going to have their third meeting, where ASA had asked to be invited. We so far have not been. I don't think we will be, but we will. We did submit testimony for that, and they'll be looking at innovative ways to attack the opioid crisis. We are really hoping that they mention medical cannabis. We'll be hosting a Facebook Live cast before and after the meeting to discuss what happened and putting out statements after that. And we're also, we have a change.org petition where we are asking President Trump, he did verbally declare the opioid crisis as a national emergency, but we would like that in writing so that states are given the emergency funds to help move the crisis, you know, try to help mitigate the crisis. And we're hoping that, you know, part of that is using medical cannabis for chronic pain. And we are actually, we have some model legislation we're providing to various states to help them enable them and their doctors and patients to utilize medical cannabis easier for chronic pain to help mitigate this crisis. And actually, one of the commissioners here in Washington, D.C. just submitted part of our legislation for this year that will help with that.
This is some fantastic news, and of course, we've seen numerous studies and surveys so far that have shown a great reduction in the harms from opioids in the states that have given the best access to medical cannabis or legal cannabis, for that matter. Here in the Pacific Northwest, where I'm based, the company Weedmaps has taken out billboards all around town. I can't drive anywhere without seeing billboards talking about how marijuana states have 25% fewer opioid overdoses and other statistics like this. Do you guys think that this is getting through to the people, that they're starting to understand that medical cannabis can be the exit drug from the opioid crisis?
Well, we're hearing it a lot more and more in the conversations that we have on the Hill, and we're hearing, you know, it'll be really interesting to see what comes out of tomorrow's meeting. But yes, I mean, if you look around, not just advocates are talking about it, but you know, legislators are talking about it, and, you know, we're just hearing a lot more about it, and like to think that ACE has had something to do with that. You know, we're really trying to guide that conversation because it's definitely, you know, there are other things that can help as well, but we don't think it can completely solve the crisis, but it certainly can be of assistance in reducing the number of addictions and deaths.
And we also have to be vigilant about this research being reproduced. You know, we're talking about, again, really promising research, but a limited number. And so we really need to, again, support this research. NIDA has a ton of grants right now for studying opioid and cannabis in adults. And if you're a nonprofit or any type of institution, you can apply for them. I mean, the federal government is handing out money to study this. And we need more people to step up to the plate who have access to these patient populations and to do this research. Because that's the important piece that's missing here, is how will policies further affect this benefit that we see for public health with regulated cannabis programs.
Dr. Jehan Marku, Beth Collins, and Debbie Chergai from Americans for Safe Access, thanks for joining us on the podcast. Final word, is there anything else you'd like to leave our listeners with?
If they'd like to catch us in person giving a talk, we'll be in Germany on Friday talking about safety and efficacy of marketed cannabis products. And then we'll be in Pennsylvania doing grand rounds at Temple Medical School on October 11th, just preceding our training.
And everything we do is listed on our Facebook site. So just keep checking back every day. We post something every single day.
Thank you very much for joining us today, and appreciate you being a part of the Marijuana Agenda. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. You too.